ESPN 97.5. KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gao Media Station.
Sounds fascinating.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, one in the books, two to go. Still plenty of time left on the big show on a good Friday here in the big city. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel all working hard
on a
holiday for the rest of you.
Guys, I know some of you are out there doing construction or, you know, working on roofs and tar roofs and all that. This is so hard. Just kidding. This is the easiest. Like, you literally have the AC going and
you're still sweating. I don't get it.
That's what fat people do, okay? We sweat, bro. All right? Are you happy now?
Just pointing that out for the peoples.
Thank you. Do I have sweat rings? Is that what you were saying?
No,
that?
You don't.
Oh, thank God. Because what sucks is when you get them up under your teeth.
Now that's the Enron knockoff shirt that is a good-looking shirt.
Yeah, when you get the... Thank you. Gooseworks on Instagram. Love this shirt. Love it. But when you get the sweat line under your breasts, that's when you're like, ugh, I better stop eating carbs.
You're putting a show on the live stream like that? I'm not sure it needs
to be. No, they can't
see
it. Look, it's censored because my laptop is up. They can't see it. Mm, baby. Yeah. Daddy likey. And they can't see anything. All right. I have one thing I wanted to mention before we move on from the Ben Simmons discussion.
Yep.
I was thinking about this during the break. Are we being too unfair to Ben Simmons about not being able to play outside of the low block and the key? Because when you think about it, two things. One, we don't criticize power forwards and big men if they play, you know, mostly around the basket. That's their job. And when you consider that and the fact that he is 6'10", he's as big as a forward. Most point guards are average about 6'2", 6'3", in the NBA. It makes a lot of sense to take a guy that you have 7-8 inches in height as an advantage on to the low block and put your back to the basket or play close to the basket where it's going to be hard for him to defend you. Harder. For a higher percentage shot.
But he does. But he handles the ball like a point guard.
Well, he is the point guard.
Right.
But I'm saying, does it make sense? That's what I'm saying. You're a point guard. You're being guarded. You're a 6'10 point guard being guarded by a 6'2 point guard. It makes sense to go down to the low block and get as close to the basket as possible for a higher percentage shot with a guy you've got 8 inches in height on.
Just don't say low block, but just say get in the lane. Because he's not going to post anybody up, but he's going to attack. I mean, he's going to attack the lane. He gets all of his, for the most part, unlike a post player, on the block. But the biggest thing
whatever word you want to say, what I'm saying is it makes sense. If you're taller, be around the basket with your defender.
Yeah, anybody, and of course, Jared Dudley's not the guy that should be chiming in, but if anybody has a problem with what he's doing right now, stop him.
Yeah.
Stop him. Yeah. Force him to do what you say that he can't do. Because until someone can find a way to keep him out of the paint, to keep him from taking advantage of a guy that he has a size advantage on, and forces him to face the basket and make some knockdown shots... That's on you.
I mean,
that's
if the national media or any media members are being too critical, but if you're just documenting the fact that he doesn't really have a shot, I don't know if that's necessarily being too critical. But I think people are always so mesmerized by the possibility or the potential that he could reach in the event that he does get a shot because he's so good at what he does
Giannis.
Right now.
But did you see when you say call attention to it? I don't know if you saw this or not, but outside the Barclays Center last night and yesterday, they taped up signs on all of the light posts and everything that were wanted signs that said wanted Ben Simmons jump shot and said reward was $26 million, whatever his salary was. And they said serious inquires only, see Khloe Jenner.
It's fun to take the shots. Look, it's fun to take the shots. Going back to the fact that like he does, you know, he runs the point. Like, he runs the point on some possessions, not all. The offense doesn't necessarily run through him on every single possession. So,
most.
Not all of them. I mean, there's a lot of people that can run the point.
But James doesn't control it on all of them either. But
right,
if you say who dominates the ball more than anybody on the Sixers in terms of getting him in their offense, it's Ben Simmons.
But, yeah, I mean, just to be fair, James may not bring the ball up every time, But when the offense is getting ready to start and run, it all runs through him. So he's the point for
that. Not every time, though. Chris gets it sometimes.
I mean, the majority
but
of the time.
But that's what I'm saying.
When James is on the floor, the offense runs through him.
At the end of the day, I would take a Ben Simmons on my team.
Yeah.
10 times over. If that's his problem, I will deal with however long it takes to progress that jump shot.
You would take Ben Simmons on this Rockets team? Does he fit the mold of this Rockets team?
No, I'm just saying in general. I'm just saying in general, like, it, because of his talent. Yeah, maybe he doesn't fit this. He doesn't necessarily fit the dynamic of this offense on the Rockets team, but he's such a good talent that you would want to work with him even though he doesn't have a jump shot, is what I'm saying.
Would you build a team around Ben Simmons?
Yeah, I would.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know if I would try to build.
I would attempt to, and if it didn't work, I would add other
Milwaukee
pieces.
Milwaukee didn't have a choice. Like, you had this superstar in the making, and you kind of had to build around Giannis, even though he had deficiencies similar to Ben Simmons. But if I had a choice, I don't know if I would want to build around a guy like Ben Simmons because the deficiency is so drastic.
I wouldn't if Joel Embiid is on the team, too.
It would, you know? You wouldn't want to.
I would build it around Joel Embiid.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Would you make Ben Simmons the centerpiece of a rebuild for a franchise to become dominant?
If I'm that team that doesn't have that star, I would.
He's the first piece. You'd be good with that.
I think there's a number of teams. How about the Nuggets? They don't have no star. How about the Kings? How about there's a bunch of teams that could use someone like him and build around him. And then in the event they could get somebody better, why not? Because we're already in the era of having to have more than one star.
Yeah.
So it doesn't necessarily mean you're building around that one.
Denver's play. Murray's going to be a star.
I mean, they built around James here, and they added extra stars, but it was all predicated on this is what we're going to run. James is good at two things, shooting threes and getting to the bucket. That's the we know analytics tells us to run that. So they basically built this team out. That's what I'm saying.
And you can make the argument that they lack a star.
To Barry's point.
The Rockets?
Yeah, they lack a star. You can make that argument. They lack a star to win a championship. Okay, so you think the Rockets are going to win a championship this year?
Nick, I love you so much, but for you to sit here and say that the Rockets lack a star and they have James Harden, who's been second or first in MVP in the last...
A second star or a third star.
Chris Paul's not the greatest point guard of our generation.
Warriors? How many stars are on the Warriors?
Five.
Well, you're not going to get an all-star team.
That's the dynamic that you need if you're going to go far in the championship.
Yeah, well, you know what? You have to draft three stars in order to do that, which is what they did. They're building this team. They went out and traded and then built around that. So it's a lot different than if you pick Steph Curry and you pick Draymond Green and you pick Klay Thompson.
Like, I'm shocked. I've said this a number of times on this show. This team has always lacked a star. They need another star.
They have two and a half stars.
Okay, 2.5 don't count. That doesn't work. That's not enough.
What are you talking about?
It's not enough to win a championship. It's not.
If Chris Paul's healthy, they probably go on and win a championship last year. How is it not enough? If
you can
he's
also
healthy,
make the argument
they lost their star, they lost the series.
Okay, I'm just telling you right now, this is an era where you have multiple stars on the team.
Sure.
And if you don't have it, there's a good possibility you will not win a championship.
I totally agree with that, but for you to say the Rockets don't have a star
you're going back to that part. I'm saying they need another star.
I agree with you on that.
I'm not saying they don't have a star. I'm not stupid. I'm aware James Harden is on the team. So I'm not saying they don't have a star. I'm saying they need another star.
You don't think Chris Paul is a star?
Chris Paul is a shell of himself, bro. Get with the program. How many points is he scoring? Everybody knows he's a shell of himself. And he needs another, and you still need a third star.
Clint Capella.
I guarantee, I'm telling you right now, and I've said this a million times. This shouldn't be a shock to you because I've said this a million times. The Rockets will not win a championship without getting another star. Now, if you want to call Chris Paul a star, that's fine. I call him a star. But they need another star. Period.
Here's the thing. When we talk about whether you draft them or not, it goes back to the whole premise of what the Rockets struggled with for years, which is you can't have multiple stars until you have one because no one wants to join a team to be that guy. Like you're saying, who would you build around? Who would be the centerpiece? Not a lot of guys these days want to put that kind of tedious work and that suffer those losses and be the centerpiece. They want to have people either coming in a year, like in the case of like the Clippers, where they know they're going to have possibly two max slots. But the thing that I would want to know about before I would build a team around Ben Simmons is, what's his work ethic like? Because in the offseason, there's a lot of guys that as soon as the game's over, they don't touch a basketball until a month before the season. I need to know that this guy's in the gym trying to figure out what's wrong with his shot. Because thankfully, unlike Markelle Fultz, similar to Markelle Fultz, and unlike the freak, Greek freak, his fundamentals on his shot look broken. They're not as bad as Foles. Yeah. They're not as bad as some of the other guys, but they need work. Lonzo if he's going to put the work in and go and get help, in the case of Foles tried to get help from a shot doctor, whoever you want to call him.
Psychiatrist.
Yeah, but he doesn't have to go start from like square one and figure out elbow in, hand in the cookie jar, all those kind of things. But he's got to work at it, because if he doesn't, I don't know that I want to build a franchise around him.
And look, and a lot of teams may put him on the roster and say, look, this is our best player. We're going to build around him. And then they get lucky in the draft, or they get someone else to sign, or Ben Simmons befriends somebody on another team that's a star and makes him or convinces him to come to that team. And therefore, they can build around that player. But at the end of the day, you're not going to win with one star. You're not going to win. That, and a lot of times, you're not going to win with two stars. You're not.
But
the Rockets
haven't
proven that yet.
I mean,
they haven't.
You're right. But what you're not, but you can't concede the fact that if Chris Paul stays healthy, they beat the Warriors and go to and probably win.
And
that
some people
series.
Would make the argument that if Iguodala was healthy and Chris Paul was healthy, that the Warriors would win. A lot of people would make that argument.
Okay, I don't know.
So
I think I.
So they were missing players too. You know, it's not
they were missing a bench player,
a
not
role
their starting
player that,
point
which
guard.
Is incredibly
yeah.
important
a
in the
role
postseason.
Player versus one of the best
which
point guards
which is incredibly
of his
important
era.
In the postseason.
I will say this: Iguodala is not only incredibly important; his defense made them a different squad.
Okay. But, so you're on his side and saying that if Chris Paul's not healthy, they don't win that they win. They
no,
still
I say
lose
they get
series?
To the finals. I still say I'm not going to say that they're gonna definitely win a championship, but they're definitely in the finals.
Oh, if they get to the finals, yeah. That means that their stars got them to have a chance to win a championship. They're in the championship series.
I firmly believe if Chris Paul doesn't go down, they win that series.
Okay.
I would actually make the argument that if he didn't go down, they did win that series, they would win the championship. But I don't know if they would have won that series against the Warriors had they both been healthy, Iguodala and Chris Paul.
It's a fair point that I hear from a lot of people that Iguodala didn't play on their side and that would have made a difference. He doesn't have the amount of minutes, ball touches, or the impact that a Chris Paul does, but I can understand the point that he would change what they did defensively.
Okay, but the Rockets were also missing Nene, so that's the... All right, I'll shut up now. Somebody
now,
said,
were you
damn,
wanting to build
Nick is
your
on
franchise
your ass, Barry. Like, yeah, he got passionate about it. Damn, Nick's getting violent, Barry, you're right. He needs anger management.
Of course you were going to read those texts, but the reality is he kept saying that, you're saying this Rockets team doesn't have a star. I never said
you
that.
Did.
I'm saying they need another star.
Joel,
star.
The absolute words out of your mouth.
Yeah.
Like, this team doesn't have
but
a star.
My point was they need another star.
That's
when I said that, I meant they need another star. I'm not dumb and not realizing that James Harden is not a star.
So you're saying they need a second star.
You're being petty with a dumb argument.
No. I'm just saying I want to clarify. You don't think Chris Paul is a star. You're saying they have one and
no,
they need
two.
No,
I do think he is a star. They need an additional star.
So they need a third one.
Yeah.
That's a lot different than how this started. That's all my point
no,
was.
No, it's not. I was trying to make the point that they need an additional star. You kept sticking to that one point, that one comment.
Well, you don't think Capella's
No.
Well, you love Capella.
Not yet.
That's your guy.
Yeah. Eric Gordon?
Eric Gordon no. can be that kind of guy. He just doesn't do it consistently.
What about Gerald Green?
So you're just trying to get me to say bad things about the Rockets, and then people are going to start texting in, and I'm just being real. I'm
then
just being real.
Think it's me.
Yeah, it was all Joel.
Yeah,
Blake
I didn't realize I worked with two guys that hated the Rockets.
See, there you go.
I'm
that,
just being real. I'm just
again.
Being real. The thing is, I've said this all along. I've never steered away from this. I've always said James Harden and Chris Paul isn't going to be enough. I've said it multiple times. I don't understand why this is such a big like surprise. I've said it so many times on this show.
Okay. Okay. Do you want to do the giveaway now, or should we wait till we get back from the break?
You can if you want.
I mean, it's up to you. You tell me.
I really hate you right
hey,
now,
when
so
we
you
come
can do
back,
whatever
you
can do it
hey,
now
back,
or later.
When we come back, we're going to have a giveaway that you guys can take part in. Until then.
I really hate you right now. Oh, so in other words, business as usual.
We're having a heated discussion. It's just a discussion, people. If you want to join in, 713-780-3776, HRP Lish Line. You can call, you can text, you can hit us up on Twitter. It's a good Friday for discussion right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, almost to the midway point of the show on a good Friday. We have more comedy coming up from John Westling.
Yeah, we do.
At some point.
More comedy from John Westling.
Yeah.
At some point, like...
Maybe right now?
Right now. Yeah. All right. Yeah, we'll do it. We're having some technical problems. We tried to drag it out, but we'll do it at 2:45.
Yep.
Hang out for that. We got Trey from Vortex going to come up and talk boxing next. We got a big fight, big pay-per-view this weekend, Terrence Crawford, Amir Khan. That's going to be one you're going to want to watch. Trey's going to break it down for us. And like he's done the last two times he's been on the show, he's going to tell us exactly what's going to happen, because both times he's been here, he's told us what was going to happen. That's exactly what happened. So you can forget all those other so-called experts, because no one's getting it right like Trey gets it right. So we're going to break that down next segment. Right now, though, I do want to give some tickets to somebody. Let's do a giveaway. It's Good Friday. Let's make it a fun Good Friday for you guys that are hanging out and listening to us. So we're going to give you ESPN and Live Nation want to send you to see Who's Live Anyway. The cast members of the Emmy-nominated TV show Whose Line Is It Anyway present their improv tour Who's Live Anyway May 2nd at the Revention Music Center. The 90-minute show filled with improv comedy and songs based on audience suggestions. If you've never been to a show like this, it's an absolute blast. You should check it out. Let's make it easy for you. We'll do caller number 5 wins a pair of tickets to see the show. Make sure you head to livenation.com for more ticket information if you don't win. Caller number 5, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number. Caller number 5, Who's Live Anyway tickets. Good luck.
There you have that. So good luck with that, as we always like to give back to the suspects that take care of us so well.
Yeah.
With that, it looks like that's stirring up a lot of activity on the phone lines, Barry.
Yeah, so we're not the top call isn't pertaining to what we were talking about earlier, but the bottom call says likes everyone's arguments. So let's take that call right now. Oh, you Mike, you are up, my friend. What did you like about the arguments? Oh, you Mike, are you just kidding? Get out of here. You know you're banned from the show. You can't call here. Scram, beat it, kid. No calls from OU Mike. You knew that already. Get out of here.
I thought you were going to be extremely generous no. on a Good Friday.
No. You know you can't call the show OU Mike. Get out. Bye. Hang up. I know you're still there. Just you hang up. No, you hang up. Anyways.
Handled like a true professional.
I saw this thing. I don't know how to approach this right. So Mr. Goss on Twitter.
Okay.
It was retweeted by ATX Hobo Girl. But he had this list from, you know who Westboro Baptist Church is?
No. Should I?
They're the ones that picket when a soldier dies. They go to their funeral and then picket and say, this soldier died because God hates America.
Yeah, yeah.
Because America promotes gay sex and all that stupid stuff. So he had this picture of a poster from the Westboro Baptist Church that says, attention, and then it has a list of people. Attention, whores, liars, atheists, adulterers, homosexuals, idolaters, porno freaks, Hindus, party animals, country music lovers, the Pope, Buddhists, drunks, cowards, murderers, prideful, Catholics, Mormons, whoremongers, I'm not done, thieves, Muslims, pot smokers, transgenders, sports nuts, feminists, racists, rock and roll freaks, gangster rappers, sissies, fake Christians, Jesus mockers, rebellious women, abortionists, Satanists, Jehovah's Witnesses, and lesbians.
Hellfire
awaits you. So basically, just you dickweeds are the only ones that's not going to hell. Everyone else, like, I fall into like 15 of those categories. Who made this list that determines who's going to hell?
Evidently, someone that thinks that they are in the know.
The Pope?
Come on, man.
So which categories do you fall in?
Dickweed.
I fall in, Joel.
Let's see. I'm whores. pot smokers, sports nuts, feminists, gangster rappers, because, you know, boom, boom. I was a gangster rapper there for a minute. Sissies. Let's see. Gosh, lesbian. This is just a lot. Drunks. Whoa, Nick, you're definitely going to hell. There's so many party animals. Oh my God.
That's just okay.
That list is the
He's
craziest.
Definitely the commissioner of the No Fun League for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand. Like, that's a lot of people to be mad at.
Plus, you have to write that. You have to write all that down.
Nick, they were pissed at you last night.
Yeah, you're like all of those things.
Hold on, I'm not in the lesbian category.
Yeah.
No, not every single one of them.
No, he's everything except Catholic. Like, that's literally, other things.
No.
Murderer.
I'm not a murderer.
Coward.
Not a coward.
Country music lover.
Okay, I'm a country music lover.
Party animal?
Kind of.
Porno freak?
Nope. No, okay, go ahead.
Let's see. Liar? Yeah, well, we know. Because you just said nope to porno freak, so you just immediately got the liar tag.
All right, you can throw that in there. No. Why am I going to admit to that?
You are a whore. Muslim? Pot smoker? Sports nut? Racist? You're kind of racist.
I'm not a racist.
You're a little
That's
racist.
So not true.
Sissy?
Not a sissy.
Why is sissy on this list?
I don't know.
That makes no sense that they're like, you know what? Who else can we hate? I don't know, man.
I know a lot of people like to find out if they're sissies.
Why are sissies going to hell? Just because they're like not tough. That doesn't...
Based on this list calling out people, I'm sure there's plenty of people that want to prove to them who's a sissy.
I love that they're like fake Christians, as if Jesus made this list. Like, well, this, you know, Moses had the 10 commandments. Jesus had the 50 people to hate. This is not like, who's really the fake Christian? Someone that makes this list on everyone they want to hate? I feel like that kind of goes against Jesus. I'm pretty sure said love everyone. I'm pretty sure that's what he said. Even sissies and sports nuts. I think that if Jesus made a list of who to love, all of these people would be on it. I mean, maybe not Jesus mockers. That maybe is not on the list. This is so weird. Oh man, you know what? The only thing they didn't put on here was people who keep a clean house.
No, because you know
You're
what?
You're welcome.
Here's the thing. I already had it. The bottom of the mountain line is what they're basically saying is there's a lot of dirt in this world that needs to be cleaned up. And I know if there's dirt in your carpet, I got the people that could take care of you like nobody else. Because when you've got high traffic areas in your house, whether it be carpeting or tile or grout, I'll tell you what, you need the people at iHeart Carpet Cleaning because they're going to take care of you and take care of your floors to make sure that they look really spick and span. When you look at what's going on in the house, when you look at how, if you have kids and pets like me, or you just got like right near the back door, the front door, or your main traffic in the living room areas, you know that over time, just because of the fact that people are in and out of the room so much, there's going to be a lot of dirt on your carpeting, your hardwood floors, your tile and your grout, etc., and you need to take care of it. And you know what? You can do your wife a favor, because normally she notices first, and then she gets on your rear end to try and do something about it. You can do something about it and get a great deal in the process, because right now the iHeart Carpet Cleaners, because they've joined our family and are sponsoring our show, are offering a deal to ESPN 97.5 listeners. That means you get three rooms clean for just $97.50. Three rooms cleaned in your house for $97.50. How do you beat that? It could be your living room, could be your family room, could be your bedroom. I'm telling you, they're going to take great care of you because they've been in the business for a long time. They know exactly what to do and how to do it, and they know that they're going to make sure that they take care of your carpets and flooring because they use the natural steam. It's safe for your flooring and for your family and your pets. No one's going to get sick, no harsh chemicals, but it's going to do the job and get your floors back to looking like new. Give them a call today and ask for Danny. Danny's the owner himself. He'll answer the phone, and he'll be at your door to show you what he can do. Matter of fact, he's going to take a certain area of your carpet or your flooring, and he's going to clean it for you, and he's going to show you how much of a difference it can make, and he's going to leave it up to you if you want him to do the rest of the job or not. Everything to come out to your house and show you what they can do is free. You just pay him three rooms, $97.50. 832-926-8049. 832-926-8049. That's Danny at iHeart Carpet Cleaning. Give him a call. Tell him Joel Blank sent you at ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Intergalactic, is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
But I've learned something about Texas. The farther away we get from Texas, the more we hide when we're in public. I try to blend in, don't stick out. Right? But I've learned an infallible way to get all Texans out of hiding, no matter what. Here's how you do it. The stars at night are big and bright. See? You didn't even want to do it. You didn't even think. Your hands just take off. Like, shit. It's state law. You have to answer. You're either Texan or you just saw Pee Wee Herman's Big Adventure. Either way, we'll take your tax dollars. It works. Try it yourself. It works every time. And that, my friends, is why Texas will never win the national championships of hide and seek.
Hey, welcome back. Second half of The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. That was our comedian of the week, John Wessling. You guys should know that name, both in comedy and if you've listened to sports radio for any time at all. In this market, especially around this station and Mr. Gow, he is a funny dude. And Barry gave you a little backstory on him in hour number one. We'll have another clip from him at 3:15. But always good to have him on and get some of his comedy out there. And we like to have friends of the show. And with that being said, another friend of the show is willing to join us right now. Trey Blackwell from Vortex is here. And you know what Trey does. Trey comes in, talks about whenever there's a big fight coming up, breaks it down like a mother, and lets us know exactly what's going to happen this weekend. So, Trey, welcome back to the show, man.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm happy to be here. How you guys doing?
I don't keep up with the boxing like I should. Right. But I always know when there's a big match because you'll text me and be like, what you got going this weekend? Who you got? Like, Trey's like, so I'm like, oh, damn, that's right. There's a big fight coming up. So I'm glad that you're able to come in and school the peeps that maybe are like me that don't follow it as much as they should.
Right.
And get us educated in advance of getting this. Because this is a big pay-per-view. People, be sleeping on this. I'm not hearing a lot of chatter. Why do you think that is? Why do you think people are sleeping on how big of a pay-per-view this really is?
To be honest with you, there are a lot of contributing factors, Barry. But mainly, I just think it's lack of knowledge, lack of promotion. Boxing hasn't been in the forefront. It's making a comeback, and the diehard fans are always going to be there. But I just don't think that your Joe Schmo sports fan knows exactly the names. There's a lot of pieces in every weight class of the championship, and people just don't really know how to follow it. You look at the UFC or other combat sports, there's one champion, maybe an interim champion, and that person is recognizable. Boxing is broken up into four major sanctioning bodies, mm-hmm. and the titles are just spread out all over the place. But that's what makes these title unification bouts and title fights so special.
And tell the people before we go any further, give them a little bit of your background. I don't want to do you a disservice like I did before. And
sure.
Tell them why you're here, because you know this game better than most.
Well, I'm here on nothing but love, because I love boxing.
You do.
but I'm also well-versed in the game myself. I started competing when I was 19. I started training boxing when I was about 8. But from 19 to 27, I managed to rack up 2 college national championships. I was an Olympic alternate, Pan Am Games qualifier, the whole 9. Got laundry list, resume in the amateur game, culminating, like I said, at the Olympic trials. Or as an alternate on that. Didn't miss that trip to London by about 3 points, but it's all
good.
Did you get robbed?
No. Oh, look, dang. No.
I got to be honest.
And put honesty on the resume. I appreciate that, too, because I'd have been lying because I didn't see it. We didn't see it. You'd be like, yeah, they totally screwed me.
Right. I could tell a story now if I wanted to, but it's not my style. I just walk in the truth.
So we were talking about Errol Spence Jr. and the fight in Dallas. Yeah. And you were talking about with this fight, people just aren't on board with all of it yet.
Sure.
But it seems like boxing's making a comeback. We were talking about the fact that to have that in Jerry World and get over 40,000 people, to get all the buys they got on pay-per-view, and going in, everybody was like, who? What? You know, if they're not like in tune with the game,
right,
you don't know the names like that. But yet that event did so well.
It sure did. And we really have the Mexican fan base to thank mm-hmm. for that, because they come out in droves for anybody that they support, be it Mikey Garcia, Canelo Alvarez, or any of the contemporary Mexican fighters. My whole thing is I just think that boxing as a whole, people understand what it is. Boxing, the first three sports that we could think of as human beings, Jim Lampley said it best, glove prize fighting has been at the pinnacle of human sport for at least 100 years now. The Olympic Games, the originals, the first sports we could think of were wrestling, punching each other in the face, and who can run to that mountain about 10 kilometers away as fast as possible. Mm-hmm. And that's what we could think of and come up with as human beings. So there's always going to be a fan base there. It's never going to go anywhere. We just have to bring it back to the forefront and remind people why. And it's fights like this, Terrence Crawford versus Amir Khan, that are going to do it.
Now, the asterisk I'll put on that is remind people why, because it is the sweet science.
Sure.
But you also got to keep the human element out of it. The Don Kings of the world that like to manipulate the fight.
Yes.
That's why what I think pushes people away from boxing more than anything is
absolutely.
You can see with your eyes who won the fight, but you know in your heart that there's something going on behind the scenes that we're not seeing.
All the judging issues recently, yeah.
Yeah, and I've said it best. The great thing about it is there is no way to tell a lie anywhere inside those ropes. It's like this pure, sanctified place. Like you said, if you're watching from outside, if you're watching what's transpiring in between those ropes, nothing but the truth happens. Nothing but the truth is capable of coming out. Now, outside of those ropes, a whole lot of stuff. There's a big gray area.
How you
area.
Interpret the truth is completely
exactly.
different as a
it's
judge.
A huge gray area.
The one thing I was like most excited to ask you about, because I feel like it's one of those things when you look at this matchup that you, to me at least, I'm wondering, who needs this fight more? They've both proven a lot.
Sure.
But I feel like both of them still need something else. Between the two, between Terrence Crawford and Amir Khan, who really needs this fight more?
You are absolutely right, Barry. You hit the nail on the head. Terrence Crawford needs this for legitimacy. Amir Khan needs this for legacy.
Nice.
And that's as plain as anyone can put it. I think that if I was a betting man, I know the spread came out today. It jumped something like 400 points just overnight. It's plus 800 about for Amir Khan.
Wow.
Yeah, and people are picking him to lose. Stylistically, when I get ready to break it down, I'm going to explain why that's going to be a pretty tall order for Terrence Crawford to just walk through this. This is going to be a fast-paced, technical boxing match. For somebody who's never watched boxing before, this is going to be a great match for them to watch because you're going to see a lot of action, punching exchanges that are going to happen every 3 to 5 seconds from guys who don't have a whole lot of crack on their punches.
Mm-hmm.
From guys who are not crazy big one-punch knockout artists, which is a good thing because they're going to be standing in front of each other
volume.
Trading leather.
Volume, yeah, yeah, right.
I mean, you'd say a little Floyd Mayweather Jr.-ish.
Right, right.
A lot of production, but, you know, people love watching Amir Khan fight because of that. Like
his
output keeps you into the
he takes a lot of risks.
The whole fight, yeah. So that's interesting you say that. So you're expecting this thing to go the distance?
I expect it to go to distance, yes, but there's always that trump card, Amir Khan's glass jaw. If you've ever seen his first loss to Brutus Prescott, it's one of the more horrific knockouts in recent history. And same thing with Canelo Alvarez. Granted, he was going up to junior middleweight to make that fight happen. He was out of his weight class, but the man's jaw has been suspect from the jump. And that's a microcosm of his fighting style, is just get in there, trade as many as you can. When you're in the pocket and in the danger zone, he has the tendency to get clipped, which means that this could end with a perfect shot at any given time, which is the only reason that I am not betting on Amir Khan for this fight.
Really?
That's correct.
So you have Terrence Crawford winning the fight.
I have Terrence Crawford winning the fight, but it really depends on which Terrence Crawford shows up. Now, the thing about Terrence Crawford is he is probably outside of Andre Ward the best in boxing at making adjustments. Adjusting him, Floyd, Andre Ward, adjusting to what their opponent is doing, developing a game plan to capitalize, switching up small, minute details in their style to eventually overcome their opponent. Terrence Crawford switches a lot. The longer he stays southpaw in this fight, the worse it's going to go for him.
And by switching, you mean switches his stance.
So switches his stance.
He'll have his lead,
right.
His lead leg will be right. Left leg for a while, then he'll switch. Lead leg will be right leg for a while.
Exactly. So the longer that his right foot is forward in his boxing stance, the worse it's going to be for him. And I'm going to tell you why in a second. But the longer that he fights orthodox, right-handed with his left foot forward, he's going to get the better of the exchanges. Now, Amir Khan, silver medalist in the Olympics, high amateur pedigree. He knows how to take the jab away, which is the only way that anybody can beat Terrence Crawford. You take his lead punch away. You take his jab away. Amir Khan knows how to do that. If they're fighting southpaw, which is Terrence Crawford with his right foot forward, and orthodox with Amir Khan with his left forward, that means that their power hands are going to have a great distance away from each other. The thing that Amir Khan loves to throw is a fast 1-2-3, which is a straight left jab, a straight right cross, and a quick, sharp left hook that's going to be really, really close to the right side of Terrence Crawford's jaw.
Which you just said
is suspect. Well, Amir Khan's jaw is suspect, but I'm saying Terrence Crawford, his jaw is going to be really, really close. So when he lets that 1-2-3 go with Terrence Crawford with his right foot forward, he's going to be connecting about 50 to 60% of the time with that left hook. That could tell the story if Terrence Crawford is committed to staying in a southpaw stance. If he switches to the righty, they're right there. They have 1-inch reach advantage. Amir Khan's got the 1-inch advantage at 71 inches. Crawford's got it at 70. But right there in that pocket, a whole lot of crazy things can happen. And that's where you're going to run the risk of seeing Amir Khan get clipped. They're going to be able to connect and punch from the same distance right there in front of each other. They both have fantastic footwork. Amir Khan has much more volume, and Terrence Crawford likes to keep the volume slow with his jab. He likes to draw people into a long, drawn-out fight. I think Amir Khan is the man to do it, to push him out of his comfort zone as far as pace is concerned. So I think Amir Khan is going to be the busier of the two, and he's also going to connect more.
So you see this going the distance, you said.
Correct.
But you have Terrence Crawford. Are you on the fence or what?
I'm on the fence.
Is it that difficult even at a plus 800? I mean, what is Vegas?
It's the variable of him being knocked out?
Only because of Amir Khan's jaw. If he stays on his feet, which I think he's more than capable of doing, you got to think about it like this. They both started at lightweight, 135 pounds. Mm-hmm. They're both fighting this fight at 147 at welterweight. So they're pretty much the same body, same build. Amir Khan has been at welterweight much longer. He's fought the greater opposition. He's even gone up to 154 and taken not gracefully, but taking some of those shots off of Canelo Alvarez has just got a mean, nasty right hand. But his body has adjusted to the weight class and had longer to get stronger at that weight. This is Terrence Crawford's fourth fight at welterweight. Mm-hmm. Amir's been here for a while. I don't think Terrence Crawford has the type of stifling power that he can just keep Amir off of him is what it would take. In a perfect world where Amir keeps his jaw clean, I'm taking Amir Khan in this one. But I'm not betting because it could change.
It's too close.
It's too close.
There you go. You heard it here first, Trey Blackwell. Trey, how can the people find you? Where are you at? Vortex, I know.
Yeah.
Tell the peeps how to get in touch with you.
Speaking of Vortex, we haven't seen you in a while, Barry.
My big ass needs to get back. I know, dude. I've been so lazy. Trust me, I know I need to get back. Every day I wake up and I look at myself naked and go, you need to get to Vortex.
That's right.
Yeah.
So if you want to learn boxing from me, I'm at two places here in Houston, Texas. I'm at Vortex, which is Houston's first multi-sensory gym, which means that we've got the laser lights going, we've got a banging soundtrack in the system in a club environment, and we just do our 45 to 60 minute boxing cardio classes. We mix in calisthenics, we get you on the floor, hit your push-ups, sit-ups, squats. And then if you want to learn one-on-one boxing from me, you can find me at 7-Eleven Fit. It's a corporate gym in downtown Houston. We're owned by Risher Fitness Management.
Do you tweet during the fights?
During the fights? I don't professionally tweet during the fights, but at Trey Vortex is how you can find me on Instagram.
You should be tweeting during the fights because boxing fans that listen to this show probably would like to interact with you. Like, hey, what did you see there? Or what did you think? I thought this. What did you think?
I feel like you're throwing me that alley-oop right
there. I'm trying, bro. I'm trying to help you build your brand, baby.
We see it happen for Texans. We see everybody doing all the time. You really should.
Trying to help you build your brand, Trey.
You put me in the ring, I'm going to swing every time, Barry.
One more time. What's the Twitter?
At Trey Vortex.
And you're going to be tweeting this fight, right?
That's right.
You damn right you are. Hey, Trey, we appreciate you stopping by, bud.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for being in here.
Hey, man. Right now, before we get out of here, though, I'm going to tell you guys about Get Upside, man. Get Upside is this completely free app that gets you cash back on the stuff you're already spending money on. You're going to fill up today. You're going to fill up this weekend. If not, you're going to fill up next week. It's Houston. We drive a lot. Why not get cash back at the pump when you fill up? That's what Get Upside does for you. It's completely free to download to your phone. You put in promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. That's going to get you extra savings on your first fill up. My wife got 30 cents a gallon cash back in her pocket on her first fill up by using my promo code through Get Upside. That's a lot, especially if you've got a big truck out there, or maybe you drive a company car and they give you a card or to fill up with. You can still use Get Upside. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, don't be cheap, but Get Upside is a great thing to get you that cash back. They don't care how you pay or what you pay, as long as you use a debit card. Doesn't matter whose car it is. Same thing when you eat out. If I take Nick out to lunch, he doesn't have to know that I'm getting 35% cash back on our lunch. I don't tell him that. I say, I got this. Don't worry about it. I'm saving money, man. I'm getting cash back. That's what Get Upside does. Featured on ABC 13. Tons of listeners have already told me that they use it and that it works and that they love it. You got guys at the station that use it like myself and Nick and AJ. There's no reason for you to leave money at the pump. There's no reason for you to leave leave money at the table. Download Get Upside, put in promo code Barry, get that cash back, and thank me later.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through second hour of the show. Great stuff from Trey there from Vortex. Always on point when breaking down boxing. So that was a good addition to the Friday lineup.
Seriously, good luck finding somebody in this, maybe in this state, that breaks it, that breaks the fight down more technically and gives you more information and makes it simple to understand than what you just heard. And if you missed it and you're a boxing fan, podcastarena.com. But Walt even texted, he goes, dude, that guy's breakdown was awesome. He made it so that an idiot like me will understand what's going on in this fight.
Yeah, you need to get on his ass about getting to Twitter for real.
We were talking about that in the break, and he's like, you know, he's reluctant to do it. I think he's like many of us that social media can be, it can have the opposite effect of what you hope. But we're trying. Joel and I were trying to convince him, man, you should be tweeting.
Oh, so he's reluctant about doing it.
He is reluctant because just trolls and idiots and that's how a lot of people are. But I'm like, bro, people would love just to get your insight round by round of what happened. Not just like, oh, I think Terrence Crawford won that round, but you should tweet out why. What did he do technically, or what should we look for in the next round from an adjustment from one of those guys? So hopefully he does that. Because his insight and his ability to break it down is like no other.
And his point was a fair one, which we experience on a daily basis, where he says that he feels like social media has become the toilet of a lot of things in the world. But, you know, there are you're going to have to face that in anything you do. But we also know that there are plenty of Rockets fans and bloggers who just want to do play-by-play on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
But broadcasting used to be a one-way street where the broadcasters send it your way and then you just have to digest it. But now, because of social media, doing what Trey does, and if he makes himself accessible, it becomes conversational. That's where broadcasting is going. That's where sports is going from a viewing perspective, where you just don't want to hear someone call an event. You want to be able to interact with someone during the event, like you're watching the games with your friends and you're watching your favorite team. That's what he could do that he could really excel at.
J-Rap on Twitter, Josh said, I have enjoyed boxing for a long time. I grew up watching it with my dad. I can say that last segment was the best pre-fight breakdown I've ever heard. What's his Twitter handle? So, again, like, not only is Trey, and see, that's the thing, is sometimes we get caught up in getting a name. Like, people, oh, you should get Stephen A. Smith to break. He covers boxing. Guess what? Outside of maybe Teddy Atlas and Ray Boom Boom Mancini in the media, no one is going to break. And they're on TV. They have to keep it quick. We have the luxury of having a whole segment, man. You guys just don't understand the kind of gems that Trey drops on a boxing card.
He doesn't necessarily want. You get the vibe. I don't want to speak for him, but you get the vibe that he doesn't necessarily care to make a name on social media from that, because he's reluctant to open up a Twitter account. And actually, there's a lot of people that have his knowledge, but can they explain it the way he does? And I don't think you'll get that out of Stephen A. Smith. You're going to get a very general conversation.
Stephen A. will call him Amir Khabib.
He probably would.
Joey Crawford out here throwing jabs. Like,
Joey Crawford's gonna hit a mean Khabib and he's gonna be out.
I mean, I remember recording a liner. I'm like, yeah, so the name of our station, Stephen A, is 97.5. 3 seconds later, he goes, yeah, this is 98.7. I'm like, no, sir. 97.5. He's like, oh yeah, 98.7. That's my
actually
show.
Yeah, we used to have a bump in with that.
We still have it.
98.5. That's my station.
So that's the breakdown you're going to get out of Stephen A. It's not going to be very specific and easy to understand like Trey does.
I loved the discussion about Southpaw versus Orthodox, because I felt like he painted that picture. Because a lot of people, that's why I was asking him to explain, like, what do you mean switching stances? Like, what does that mean? Lead leg forward, depending on which leg is forward, determines what stance you're in. And yeah, that was good stuff, man.
That was easy to digest technical breakdown, because a lot of people will break it down so technically that it's like trying to digest calculus.
Yeah.
He did it in a, such an easy to digest way that it that, that's what people can appreciate.
So James in Utah has a question for us.
All right.
He said, gentlemen, I need some advice. I have nosebleed tickets for game 3 and 4, but second row behind the Jazz bench just came up for cheap, $725 for game 4. Should I pull the trigger and troll the Jazz?
Nope.
Yes.
Nope.
Yeah.
But $720, Nick?
So he let him pay for it. And we need some video. Just send video.
I would say this, James in Utah. If you have $725 to spend to sit behind two rows behind the Jazz bench and just scream awful, awful things to them in the name of Houston, Texas, I say do it.
Me too.
Because you know what's going to happen? The other 19,999 people in that arena are going to be doing the same thing to the Rockets bench.
Yeah.
Just read everything that Barry has tweeted about Joe Ingles.
Dude, there you go. Yeah, Joe Ingles puts his lips on the water fountain. Just those kind of, you can have all that. You can use all of them.
And ask Grayson Allen what it feels like to be young Ted Cruz.
Yeah, that's still a creepy thing. He looks a lot
like him.
He really does.
Yeah.
Buddy here, this is on the text line, not me, mm-hmm. Buddy. Buddy said, Buddy here, two things. One, I want to do a weekend radio show with Cody Stutes called Cody and Buddy, Too Heavy for TV. Where does that come from?
That was not nice.
Yeah, I don't know why out of nowhere. You're just picking on my man Stutes. Why, Buddy, why?
I catch heat for picking on him, and that Buddy's actually picking on him.
You catch heat because you pick on him.
I do not. You call me out for everything.
Well, first of all, you point it out every time. Second of
all, Cody Stutes' weight?
No, he definitely.
He definitely makes fun of Cody's weight,
thank
for sure.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
He's saying he doesn't, and he absolutely does.
But why are you backing away from that? So what if you made fun of his weight? You always have.
Yeah. The second part to Buddy's text was the new best thing on radio, John's Gilbert. When I was talking about Gilbert, you were like, John's Gilbert?
John
Wesley? No.
Oh, John's Gilbert. Granados.
Yeah, because I said Gilbert. You said who, John's Gilbert? Yes, that one. It is John's Gilbert. It's like his adopted son. Somebody wanted to know what video game I'm playing. Assassin's Creed Odyssey. And no, I won't play online. So don't ask.
So the funny thing is with the John's Gilbert thing,
uh-huh.
He's always been like John and Lance's, but with the promos that we run out there, when Gilbert kind of crossed the line with Wendy, it just became like all John's.
John is maybe the coolest dude ever because there's absolutely nothing you can say to him, I think, that would get him upset. I mean, you had if like when Trey made that joke about my wife, I wanted to murder Trey's face. I wanted to
kinda
throw.
Like I want to murder your face today.
Well, I mean, just because you know,
because what?
Because you were wrong. Don't be mad at me. But like, if you talked about my wife like Gilbert does John's wife, I would kick you off your bicycle. I don't care if you have an orange flag on it or not. You're getting kicked off the bike. Like in John, nothing.
He's anyways,
like, whatever.
Anyways, John, how's Wendy?
Laughs at it. That's a cool cucumber right there.
Just don't touch his head.
Really?
Yeah.
Granado?
We were told that at the holiday party.
Is that a thing with him?
Yeah.
He's,
Matter of fact, listeners told us that.
He's Adrian Beltre?
Yeah.
Oh.
You know this. They told us both. Oh, you were drinking that day.
Yeah.
Yeah, they told us that day.
Yeah, thanks, Crystal Collins. I was a little drunk. I didn't know that.
Yes.
Oh, no. You never want your enemies to know your weaknesses. Now I know.
There you go. Two in the books, one to go. The big show. Hour left on the clock. Plenty more to get to. Something on your mind you want to get off your chest? We're here. 713-780-3776. HRNP listener line. You can call. You can text. You can hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects. ESPN 97.5.
Warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.